المسلمين. مركز صحابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان. Hope you well this morning.
الحمد لله وعليكم السلام. Everything fine. Again so hot. So hot over there. Real feel going to 45. Okay. No problem.
Well,
but there's no war over here.
Alhamdulillah. You know,
there's no war. We're a peaceful situation. We're at war with each other. That's about it.
Yeah, I was speaking to someone who travels to Kuwait. And I asked him, what's the weather like in Kuwait? He says, you won't believe it. There, it's 50 and plus, 50 degrees and plus. So when he comes here to South Africa, especially now in these months, it's pretty cold, he says, to adjust. And he's quite old, elderly. But the body to adjust then becomes, he showed me, look at me, thermal vests I'm wearing and rest. So I said, yeah, we, as you get older, you become colder. So we also now we're dressing up much with much more clothing. But alhamdulillah, we make shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal, like you've said, that yes, there's no war, there's no other aspects. And that's what I was highlighting just a few moments ago to the listeners, that when it comes to our aspects, that we have to be sane. Now, if we're going to just bombard our brains with all of this that we are seeing and babies being killed and watching all these videos, it's weakening our relationship with Allah. And now is the time that these people need our strength with Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning our iman with Allah Azza wa Jal, and turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, making dua. But when you watch all of this, it just breaks, it tears your emotions apart, and then it affects your relationships with people you daily interact with, because you're so affected by what you see. And yeah, so that's just one of the aspects. But Mufti Saab, let's go to the breaking fabricated news which we needed to speak about. And I did ask you this yesterday, but I think today you've got much more concrete responses on these issues.
Yeah, there was talk yesterday that Pakistan was going to show how they backed Iran by sending a nuclear weapon against Israel. Which, when you brought that up, I started laughing. Okay, and then later I had tuition in the afternoon, and the student came and he said his grandfather said the same thing, that you know this is going to happen. Pakistan is going to bomb. I said, please, let's calm down here, because you're still your gulam. This country is a khadim, okay, is a slave to America in the West. All right, you do anything without America's approval, and they take away your IMF loans, okay, and without the IMF loans, this country does not stand up. And so, please, let's just calm down, okay? So you did nothing against Gaza for 20 months. For 70-something years, you haven't done anything against Kashmir, and now all of a sudden you're going to help Iran, our brothers. You know, one thing that leads, I believe, to this false news narrative is Asif Zardari is the president, okay? And before Benazir Bhutto, she was married to Zardari, right? Before Benazir Bhutto was assassinated, she had an interview, and they asked her, God, come clean. All right, tell us the truth. Are you Shia or not? Mm. All right, she said, no, I'm not Shia. Asif is. She put it on her husband. She said, Asif Zardari is a Shia. Okay? And Asif Zardari is the president who's sitting in power right now. But whenever, and he had a period of 5 years, and now he's in a second 5-year period, whenever he's in power, relations with Iran are very good. Okay, whether he's Shia or not, okay, Allah knows best. He hasn't said he's Shia, but we believe he is, okay? And his relationship with Iran is always good, Pakistan's relationship when he's in power. On the opposite end of the spectrum, when the Sharifs, this is the first time that the Sharifs are in power along with Zardari, okay? The EU was one or the other. Now, the Sharifs, they're very close with Saudi Arabia. When they're in power, there's very close relationship. We follow the same moon. Well, we have the same day of Eid. Everything is the same. Okay? So that this may be why this rumor came out, okay? But it's exactly like a rumor. One of the defense ministers, he came out and said, "No, this is wrong. You shouldn't be making a joke about this. The war is not a joke, okay? You know, each one of our countries are sovereign and independent, et cetera, et cetera. Although we do stand behind Iran, you know, for is being attacked by Israel, but no, we're not going to use any weapons or anything like that." So that it was completely cleared up in the parliament yesterday. So. Mm.
Yeah, because like you've said, arch enemy is India. So rightfully, if you were going to use it, you would use it against India. But of course, yeah, we've just clarified that.
And India is backing Israel.
Mm.
India is backing Israel in this whole affair. Pakistan, you know, is saying, "Well, we're backing Iran, but we're not gonna do anything."
Mm.
But Israel and India, they share intelligence and other things. As well as they share the same apartheid tactics.
Hmm.
Okay, anybody who's not a Hindu in India is a second class citizen, just like anyone who's not a Jew in Israel is a second class citizen. And the army, you know, takes care of that. The army and police, you know, they enforce this apartheid system in both countries.
Hmm. And that's exactly what the Quran Sharif also tells us and warns us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this. And who are these people that are giving themselves? They are the direct enemies of the Muslimin. And we have to be absolutely aware of this here. So, Mufti Saab, that was, alhamdulillah, clarifying that issue. Now, there is a great misconception here also is that I'm not sure what's the people like in Pakistan when it comes to this here. What are their views of Iran? And like here in South Africa, there is a concern and there is awareness that is brought to say that, see, two enemies are fighting. As we've said yesterday, it is the illegitimate son, illegitimate father fighting this. So we leave it to them, let them fight it out. Two enemies of Islam fighting, we will just sit in the back and enjoy the popcorn. But what's the reality in Pakistan at the moment? Do they also think like this, that Iran is Shia and we can't support them? There's a limit in terms of this as well, because their beliefs is totally against Islam, against the very, if you just take the Quran Sharif, if you just take so many aspects, principles of Islam. So definitely they are not Muslim, but what do the Pakistanis say about this?
Well, for the most part, they don't believe that Shia or Kafir, okay? Shia and Sunni are the same, according to the beliefs of most people, and they should stop fighting each other. This is foolishness, that type of stuff. Remember, we have a Tara Jamil over here, who has gone to Imam Baga's, and he's had food with the Shia, and he's praised them, and he's done bayans or Kabbalah and all these things. All right, the fatwa out of Darul Karachi doesn't say that they're kafir, but it just mentions that if a group of people believe like this, or like this, or like this, then they're out of the pale of Islam. Well, they're not. Darul Karangi is not like my ustaz Mufti Zahir Ali, rahmatullahi alayh. When they asked him, "Are Shia's kafir?" he just pulled on his beard and he coughed and said, "Bilkul Shia." I mean, bilkul kafir. 100%. All right, he didn't hold back. But no politician can say this, because if you look at the great leader, Qadi Azam, okay, he was Shia.
Hmm.
Okay? He was Ismaili Shia, Aga Khan. And then left that and became Rawafis, okay, a 12er. Okay, so how are you going to say the Shia is a kafir when the father of the country was a Shia?
Mm.
You got a problem now, huh?
Mm.
So, yeah, in Balochistan, there's a lot of Shias in Balochistan. Okay, there's a lot of Shias in the government. Okay, some people are open about it and some people are not open about it. But so that's the thing. And Maulana Fazl Mazhab, his father, Mufti Mahmoud, okay, who was in the, he was in KPK before he died, Rahmatullah Alayh. And he has, I think, Fatwa Mahmoudia. I think he has a lot of volumes of fatwa. All right, and in the fatwa, they asked him, are the Shias kafir? He said, yes, they're kafir. Okay, but now that now that he's dead and his son, Maulana Fazl Rahman, is in power, he took that fatwa out. Okay, so that the question doesn't show up at all.
Mm.
Okay, so yeah, it's you can't criticize the Shias over here, or they're not being criticized. Okay, again, they're places of power. Okay, and they most people feel that the Shias are you know, just like Sunnis. They just have a different fit. It should be Jafriya.
Mm. And it just makes sense because there's no awareness. And once you, there's no awareness from the ulama to say that, see, this is the reality of what they say, then how are people going to ever find out about this? And especially, as you've said,
so we have
prominent figures. What does Mufti
say? We have Sipa Sahaba and different organizations that's dedicated to exposing the Shia.
Mm.
But they get a bad press. I mean, they don't get good press here in Pakistan, all right? Mm. People look at them as rabble-rousers and what have you.
Mm.
So, yeah. You know, that's it. The people, the ulama that are in power, that have the ability to say something, they don't say anything.
Mm.
All right? They just go with the flow.
Mm.
All right? That's our problem. We need one Maulana Desai over here, and we straighten everything out. But we don't have that over here. Yeah. Everybody dances to the same tune.
It's I know one organization here, just a few years ago, when you saw how they were so, when they attacked in terms of providing evidence against the Shia, and that I couldn't find like one dedicated source, but you would go to this particular website. But now I'm seeing that there's a shift, and when you speak to those who have now like sort of taken over, they have a totally different tune. When I spoke to them recently, I mean, before, when we used to meet, whatever it is, it used to just be Shia talk and how they are kuffar and the rest. So lately, it was just 2 or 3 years back, I went to visit. They had a child. So I said, now what do you say about the Shias? What's the, because you following this thing, your whole organization is dedicated to this now. He said, I think, you know, now is, we must change our stance a little bit. I said, what do you mean change your stance? People, I know people used to get irritated with you because you were so engrossed in this communique. You are what's on your heart. You speak about all of this here because you can't tolerate it. And that was, I used to admire you because you just used to speak. But now what do you mean that we must change this tune? He said, see, and this is what Pakistan uses a lot, is that the conflict and the fight between Shias and the Sunnis is too brutal. So rather, let's put things back in the drawers, let's close the drawers, and let's become friends outwardly. We hold our beliefs, but we still become, and this is exactly a similar word which he told me, that we will still become like friends on this level, but belief-wise, we stick to our beliefs. The harms of this is exactly what you've said, Mufti Sahab. When we're going to be silent on this, people are then going to take them as just a different kind of fiqh. So there's 5 schools of fiqh now. And we know, we say Ahnaf, Hanafis, we say Shafis, we say Hanbalis, we say Malikis, and they add the 5th now, Shias. If you see in the University of Egypt, they've got this as well, and the fifth school of thought as well. So once we become silent, then it just means we're going to now engage with the enemy, not to attack them.
See, this country is very secular.
Hmm.
Morality, we're very secular over here, and most of the people that are in, like, a Sifa Sahaba and these other groups, Shia Kafir Hay, Shia Kafir Hay, Shia Kafir Hay, all right, one-point program, most of them are not that educated, all right? It doesn't mean that they're wrong.
Yes.
They're not as educated as most of the country who go to school, all right, wear shirt and tie and a clean shaven. And you know, you look at these guys with long hair and long beards, and these guys are off, you know? Well, why do they keep screaming about these things like this?
Hmm.
So that's also part of it. If the Ku Klux Klan, you heard of the Ku Klux Klan in America?
No.
The guys who wore the white robes, all right, and hanging black people and, you know, from the treetops in the 1800s and early 1900s, okay? So they were just plain out racist. All right, put up the sign on the wall, niggas and dogs not allowed here, you know, this type of stuff. They tell you straight to their face. They were the wolf, all right? You knew that they were enemies to black people, all right? They didn't try to hide it. They primarily were in the South. In the North, you had the white liberals who pretended to be your friend, okay? But they didn't help you at all. So they used to, the Ku Klux Klan would have their meetings at night under a burning cross, and they would wear like a abaya, okay? White robe, okay? With a white hood on the top, okay? And no one could see their identity, okay? This was in the 1800s, early 1900s, okay? But in their heart was a hatred for black people, okay? In the 1980s, they took off the robes, figuratively, speaking, and they put on a pants shirt and tie, suit and tie, and they gave the same message, but they're dressed in a different way, and it's put in a different bottle, a different package, and it was still accepted.
Mm.
Okay? That's the thing. Mm. So over here, the people who understand that the Shia are Kafir, we need more people of the middle class and upper middle class, you know, to say these things, and especially the ulama. But up until now, it hasn't happened.
Hmm.
We've had religious parties. We had a religious party of six different religious parties. They combined as one, and the Sunnis were with the Brahmins and the Shia. They were all under one party.
Mm.
And so, and they won some seats. They won some seats for a time.
Mm.
So that's the thing. It's, you know, that interfaith works over here.
Mm. That's the push that's everywhere in the world now. Interfaith and interfaith. Is just it's a milder term for the actual Abrahamic Accord, which Trump is pushing for. And there's much talk on this, and we can speak on that on another occasion. But Mufti Saab, as you've said about this, where people's beliefs are now, it's contaminated, because you're looking at Iran and you're speaking, yes, we support Iran. And people are saying we support them not because of what they are doing, but we support them because they are Muslim. And this is now problematic. As well, a believer is one who has a vision, and he doesn't just see, okay, Iran is now sending missiles and they mean what they speak. We have to see the bigger agenda as well. If we see in the hadith of Muslim, there's a hadith that comes where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dajjal would be followed by 70,000 Jews of Isfahan, and they will be wearing Persian shawls. When we see where is Isfahan, we see that's in central Iran. So we can't be that short vision to say that, yes, these are people. We say, inshallah, like how the Romans and the Persians fought, and it was a war between the Christians and the Mushrikeen. It just opened up the victory for the Muslimin. So they weakened one another, but it opened up the victory for the true Muslimin. So it makes a major difference. As you've said, we need to now, and when I look at certain, at these forces of Batil and what they have, it's just mind-boggling how much of interest they take in promoting the Batil. They will have centers and centers.
Sorry to cut you off. What I wanted to say was that we need the leadership of our ulama to guide us through these times. Because what we're going through now with this Iran and Israel, who to root for and what have you, is what America's been going through during this Rainbow Coalition thing, all right, this alphabet soup thing, all right, Umar Suleiman and all these other people saying, well, we don't agree with everything that these homosexuals are saying, but they're making good points and they're proposing good ideas. And so those things we support. They're being oppressed, and we don't want any kind of oppression. So we support them in their right to get freedoms or whatnot. But no, we don't believe everything that they believe the same way. Okay, so they have their problem. They had, and they still have their problem in America. How they should feel about the alphabet soup people. So, but they don't have ulama there, all right, to guide them out of their, you know, their problem, real ulama. And we have some real ulama up here, and they can say, okay, listen, this is how we look at the Israeli and the Iranian problem. We look at it like this, all right, and then we just leave it like that. All right, we have firm voices that we can, you know, take advice from. But we should learn from this, as well as, even before that was what? The corona. Okay, Corona. You mentioned about don't look at the television so much and don't listen to, you know, all these reports and everything. It weakens your iman. That's exactly what the Corona. Every day, more information on Corona. And so when Maulana Adil here in Pakistan, he called someone and said, "How come you're not coming to the masjid?" And the person said, well, because of the corona, all right? So Maulana said, the corona is on television. It's not here in the masjid. come to the masjid. Okay? So this, okay, we have people that could guide us. Okay? We have people that could guide us. You see? So that's what we need. We need the leadership of the ulama.
Especially on these biting issues. Otherwise, silence is a major crime, and that's what people are not aware of, or there's no interest when it comes to these things. Mufti Saab, there's about 30 seconds left. Anything else you think we've missed and we should have discussed?
Don't miss your tahajjud at night. Don't miss tahajjud. Allah's gets up the last third, and he's asking who wants forgiveness, who has a problem, who needs something, who wants something. Well, we are in need now. We are definitely in need. We're in need of afia. All right. We have to turn back to Allah. So the advice I have is never miss tahajjud until your janazah. Okay. Things are bad, and they're not. And the Prophet saw some promise that they will get worse. So please don't leave your tahajjud. What Imam Shafi, Rahmatullah, said, when you pray the tahajjud, it's an arrow that never misses its mark. So that's when we ask Allah for help then.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab. And yes, what we said yesterday, I just echoed it earlier before we were speaking, and that's exactly, we claim the support for the people of Gaza. We claim the support for the Muslimin all over the world. And what's our support? As we said, it is watching these videos and all of this. So what happens then? YouTube will tell you next video, next video, next video. And before you know it, it's already 2 o'clock in the morning and you're not sleeping as yet. You're not going to wake up for tahajjud. You're not going to wake up for fajr. And that is exactly what the Muslimin need. They need strong believers, strong people in faith, strong iman. So are we really supporters of the haq, the truth, and do we really want the truth to prevail? That will determine now. And that's how they've captured us, to think that, okay, we are supporting, we are showing our solidarity, but our definition of solidarity has changed. So, jazakumullah khairan, Muftisam. Make dua for us as well. We'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.